The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. Hope you're having a great Thursday morning. We're here at the Metropolitan Crime Commission Excellence in Law Enforcement Annual Awards Luncheon. We've got a great lineup for you today. We're going to go live at 12 o'clock to catch the beginning of the awards presentations to the members of law enforcement that have been involved in any number of investigative operations, and we'll hear a little bit of that. We'll also get to hear Governor Landry's comments, as well as Sheriff Joe LoPinto, and probably right about then is when we go off air. But we've got a great guest lineup for you as well. We'll visit with Lionel Myrtle, the special agent in charge of the New Orleans field office of the FBI, at around 11:45. Colin Sims, the district attorney of St. Tammany and Washington Parishes, at 11:30. The governor is going to join us around 11:15 this morning. Greg Rusevich, who is the chairman of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, joins us around 10:45. Colonel Robert Hodges, head of the Louisiana State Police, superintendent there, will join us around 10:30. And joining us right now, he's on the line, is our district attorney for the city of New Orleans, Jason Williams. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Sheriff. How are you?
Doing well. Jason, you are one of the presenters as well, but will be off air by the time that you come on, because I think you are the last presenter. What do you intend to tell this group this morning?
One, I want to thank everybody in that room and everyone who has worked beyond their own careers to engage in making New Orleans a safer place. I want to thank the people in that room, number one. But number two, I want to let them know that despite what the rhetoric that we see around the country as it relates to electeds and appointeds, in the city of New Orleans and in the state, I believe we are in a really wonderful moment of collaboration and partnership where we're putting public safety first, where we meet. We're sometimes critical with each other in behind closed doors, but we come out with a united front against violent offenders. And the numbers, the public safety gains, they show it. And I hope it's something we can maintain.
And obviously that's something that's needed, right? I mean, most organizations have struggled with getting the human capital resources that they need, sometimes financial resources that they need, and there's just not enough time to do a number of things. So I know that you guys have worked with the NOPD with a great relationship with the Louisiana State Police Crime Lab until the crime lab here is fully functional and up and running in order to backfill and help in that operation.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the, I guess, sort of sustainable things that have existed over the course of many administrations. The state police they've come in during Mardi Gras in the past. They've come in during Operation Golden Eagle. Thank goodness we have them here full time now. But that crime lab has been holding up huge parts of the state of Louisiana, New Orleans being one of them, for quite some time. We should have endeavored to have our own local crime lab up after Hurricane Katrina. that obviously was a misstep when you look at the amount of crime that we have here. And so it's created a backlog because a number of parishes are relying on an LSP. But that partnership, there's serious cases we wouldn't be able to move forward on simply because no judge, no defense attorney would let us try without getting those testing results back. And so we have a deep debt of gratitude to the LSP for always being in the gap on that.
Jason, recently Sheriff Hudson indicated that the jail is at the max and maybe a little over at the max as a result of the endeavors and some of the initiatives engaged in by Troop NOLA. Your thoughts about the state of the state of what's going on there and the special relationship that you developed with the AG's office, Liz Murrell.
So, you know, our goal was to make New Orleans safe, was to target specific violent offenders, neutralize them, take them off the board, convict them, and send them away for good. That goal, at no point in time are we trying to do that based upon a jail bed count in Orleans Parish. That cannot be a driving mechanism in public safety. I understand the problem. I understand the concern. There's a consent decree. And there's a lot of things that can be done to deal with it. But in the middle of a crime surge, in the middle of going after folks who are hurting people, I don't think jail beds can be, I don't think that can be the factor.
You, in what way? You lost me. I'm not sure I understand.
So what I'm saying to you is, I know the sheriff here has indicated that she's running out of space because LSP, NLPD, the DA's office, and AG's office are firing on all cylinders to neutralize problem actors in our community. Right. And if those arrests and convictions take us higher than what the sheriff believes that jail size should be, that can't be a factor for law enforcement in terms of going after bad actors. And frankly, right. I do believe that keeping certain folks in jail has been a huge contributor to violent crime going down. And so I think we just have to be very careful that we're not blending everything together, suggesting that we should change our strategy because of jail size.
I got it. Thank you for clearing that up. It does put a little more pressure on your office, though, to increase the amount of throughput with the court as well as the judges, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we've had some discussions in the past when we were coming out of the self-induced coma that we all put ourselves in to get through the pandemic. As you remember, Sheriff, the criminal courthouse in New Orleans was shut down longer than any other parish, which I truly believe contributed to the crime spike in New Orleans. And that just meant we didn't have all the tools available to us. And that means we've got to be more efficient and more effective in court. We've got 12 sections of court. Any given day, we have enough jurors to go to trial in three sections of court. So that's a problem. We got to figure out a way to, I think what's happening in Jefferson, I think it's one day a week. Therefore, citizens, there's a lot more voluntary participation in terms of showing up because people know I come this day. If I get selected, I do my duty. But if I don't get picked, then I move on. So I think we've got to make some changes there. But also think we have to use the full day. We've got to make sure that whether maybe in federal court, sometimes there's multiple dockets, not just a 9 o'clock docket where everything is being stacked. And I think we need to be a little bit more creative about how we deal with the numbers of cases that exist. And then we can process these cases faster, and individuals that will be serving time can be sent to penitentiaries and other places, and that would reduce jail overcrowding here locally.
Do you get the sense that the court is receptive to that conversation?
I haven't seen any changes yet. I'm going to continue to push, and hopefully they will become receptive, because the one thing we can't do is start letting violent people out of jail or recidivists, even if they're nonviolent, out of jail. That is going to send us backwards. And so there's some judges that are very receptive to this. But there are some that are not. And I think we just got to get to a point where the en banc sees a strategy that, that they're willing to adopt with fidelity.
And I think you would agree with the number of arrests that of perpetrators of violent crime, and more specifically murders, those individuals stay in jail. Those are growing in number in the jail population today. Is there some special strategy that y'all are deploying to try and get as many of these murder cases through the court system?
Absolutely. We prioritize murder cases above any other case other than sexual assault cases. Sexual assault cases, violence against children, and murder cases. Those cases are being prioritized in court, starting with the oldest case. Because as you know, cases don't get better for prosecutors over time. Witnesses' memories fade. People die. People move on. People leave the police department who worked on certain cases. And so those are the cases we focus on. You'll very rarely see a low-level nonviolent offense trumping those cases in sections of court. Obviously, there are certain cases that we've got to put in the queue. Domestic violence cases need to work through the system faster than any other case because of the vicious cycle that survivors find themselves in. I've had some good conversations with Chief Judge Tracy Flemings Davalier and Rondegut Douglas, Judge Rondegut Douglas, about the possibility of maybe having a couple of specialty courts that could focus on domestic violence cases so those cases don't find themselves stuck behind murder cases, whether it's a portion of the docket or all the docket. We haven't quite figured that out yet. But I think we've got to get creative, and we've got to find every force multiplier out there because we don't have enough problem in every agency. We don't have enough jurors to try cases in every section court every day. We don't have enough prosecutors. We don't have enough police, and we don't have enough capacity in the crime lab, which means we have to find force multipliers to allow the human beings that are doing this work to be more effective during their work days. They're very long work days.
No doubt, for sure. Let's pivot to your office. A number of members of your office will be receiving an award today for the conviction of serial murder Tyrone Steele. Corbin Bates, Natasha Childress, Dana Damal, Elizabeth Garcia, Corey Tassan, and Aaron Washington from your office will be recipients of awards. Tell us about this case.
So this was a young violent offender, barely at the age of maturity, but he was. He was a serial killer by every definition. We know of at least five bodies that he's responsible for in less than 6 months' time. And that is prolific by any measure. And you look at the level of collaboration that was happening between my office and the LPD detectives and patrolmen who work separate disparate cases to work together to find connective tissue between all these cases to reveal that it was actually one young man that was committing these crimes. It was an impressive piece of work by this trial team and by the investigators to pull together all of this evidence in a very short period of time to show to a jury that he was responsible for all of this. And I've heard you, I listened to your show, and I've heard you talk about high-impact criminals. Yep. And when you target high-impact criminals, the relief and the measure of safety that's brought to the community that he was wreaking harm on is exponential. And that that collaboration that happened here is something that is worth touting. We're using it as a model in my office to train other trial lawyers and other homicide detectives to look for those connectors between all sorts of cases. I mean, whether it's a carjacking spree or a burglary spree or gun stealing, those things are often tied to homicides. And we're working to be smarter about putting these cases together so that we take out every single person that participated, that harbored, that played any role in violent crime.
My best days, Mr. DA, were when I read daily summaries of outlining a case, just like you said, where they're connecting all the dots and they're working together. And the NOPD officers that worked alongside the members of your office that I just mentioned are Ryan Oquan with NOPD, Robert Barrere, NOPD, Nicholas Davis, NOPD, and Walter Edmond, NOPD. And
absolutely,
all these folks
absolutely
will be getting awards today. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts, you know, I just want to say, give a big shout out to the NOPD because they've done more with less for a very long time. They don't get enough credit for it. They have complied and run to the goals of this consent decree more so than any other city ever has. And a big thanks to the governor and to the AG for realizing that the health of the city of New Orleans is a huge determining factor for the health of the city, of the state. And coming and getting in this fight with me and Chief Kirkpatrick and then former Chief Michelle Woodfork to add to the fight so that we can make New Orleans safer, faster. It's working. People around the country are taking notice. It's gratitude. I'm nothing but gratitude.
And kudos for you for creating an environment where you have the ability to receive that assistance, because that goes a long way as well.
I appreciate that, Noel. But, you know, we got a job to do, and it doesn't matter how we get it done as long as it's honest and fair. And Ronald Reagan said, it's amazing what you can do if you don't care who gets the credit.
Yep. You know, it's unfortunately we have enough work to go around, right? I mean, there's no shortage.
I would love to be bored. I would love to be bored.
Well said. Well said, Mr. D.A. Jason Williams, District Attorney for the City of New Orleans, thank you so much for visiting with us this morning. Congratulations on behalf to your office, the members of your office, and working together with NOPD. And we look forward to hearing the story told this morning. That'll be one of the things that we'll be able to cover live this morning. So I look forward to seeing you here shortly. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Sheriff.
All righty, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we come back, we'll visit with Colonel Robert P. Hodges. He's the superintendent of the Louisiana State Police.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With us. And just a reminder, folks, around 11:15, we'll have Governor Jeff Landry joining us, and we'll be covering his speech that he delivers to the folks that are here for this award ceremony at the Sheraton New Orleans Hotel. Joining us now is Colonel Robert P. Hodges, superintendent of Louisiana State Police. I've known Robert for a long time. Think he does great work. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheriff. Glad to be on this morning with the big awards event following.
Absolutely. Colonel, let's talk briefly about Troop NOLA. Kind of give us the state of the state of Troop NOLA today.
So we're very pleased with our progress. As you know, tomorrow will be 10 months since Governor Landry took office and I was appointed. And we've been actively in Troop NOLA following Carnival this past February. And since that time, we just had incredible success. And the importance of the success is really attributed to a lot of factors. The partnership with the New Orleans Police Department, our other state agencies, wildlife and fisheries, alcohol, tobacco control, probation and parole, harbor police, levee district police, our federal partners, FBI, DEA, ATF, U.S. Marshals. All of those together has put us in a position to be a force multiplier in reducing crime in the city, specifically violent crime. And we're very pleased with the success thus far, but due to Governor Landry's vision and the permanent troop in the city, this will continue because you know all too well with your 40 years in law enforcement that you have to maintain that uniform presence day in and day out to keep the entire parish and city safe.
It's all about pressure. I know that you guys were trying to establish Troop NOLA here, and it was going to grow, obviously, because you had to build the numbers and everything else. If you'd give us a report on that.
So Troop NOLA, we're still filling the ranks. We have some vacancies, but how we have – well, let me back up by saying about 4 weeks ago we graduated 55 new troopers, and they went across the state to the all the nine of the 10 troops, excluding Troop NOLA. They're in field training right now. We started another academy class 3 weeks ago. We have 51 remaining. That's a law enforcement-only class. That will graduate on January the 24th. When those graduate and they finish field training, we'll be able to reassign troopers from neighboring troops like Troop B, Troop L, Troop C, and fill the ranks in Troop NOLA. How we've been working with the current numbers that we have now, which is not a complete staff, is we've been bringing in troopers from around the state as well as partnering with those other agencies. And we hope, our goal is come Super Bowl in February, that we'll be very close to the full complement that we see for Troop NOLA, which is right around 40 troopers.
Yeah, and it sounds easy, but you and I both know it's not, right?
It is not. It's recruiting, training, additional training because it's policing in an urban environment, understanding the culture. So we really focus on ensuring that the men and women that we select to work in Troop NOLA have that experience, training, and, of course, the passion and desire and understanding that expectation of how dangerous it is in the city and really across the state. But New Orleans, like many other cities, is unique. And so it requires not only training, but continuous training throughout the year. And more importantly, a rotation of men and women because of the focus where you get away from maybe some of the other troop functions of more of a traffic patrol into more of a specific investigative side of it. And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about our Bureau of Investigation. Louisiana is unique. Our state police, there's 21 other states that operate as a state police as opposed to 27 others that have a highway patrol and a Bureau of Investigation. And because of that, we're fortunate to work each and every day with our own troopers in those investigative units. And much of the credit of Troop NOLA's investigations, arrests, and follow-up and long-term commitment is really a large part of our Bureau of Investigation with narcotics and our detectives, insurance fraud and auto theft, intelligence, our troopers in the casinos. All of those respective areas and focuses help fuel the energy and, more importantly, the intelligence-led policing that has taken to a new level at this time right now in New Orleans.
No, absolutely. Real quick, I know that you guys, a number of members of the LSP are going to be recognized today for a case in the conviction of Andrew Purnell. specifically Stephon Montgomery from the LSP, Ryan O'Leary, LSP, Chelsea Richardson, LSP, and Cheryl Swearingen, LSP. There's some Baton Rouge officers and 22nd District DA's officers as well. Tell us about that case.
Well, it's no secret that crime has no boundaries, and especially when we talk about the city of New Orleans, it's metropolitan. That's why you hear about the 22nd Judicial District and DA Colin Sims and our partnership with our border parishes. St. Tammany, St. Bernard, Jefferson, and Orleans are critical to combating the crime and being able to reach out to those detectives and those deputies in leveraging the numbers and being able to provide a complex, efficient, and effective investigation is why they're being recognized today. When you try to go in alone or you just go with a small group of people, you just don't have the resources. And I'm not just talking about personnel. Our investigative tools and technology, whether it's air support, whether it's someone that has an electronics canine, there's just so many things, our availability with the new technology, with the drones, and working smarter and partnering specifically with that. And with regard to the question about the investigation in Bogalusa, and I think that this blueprint that we have in New Orleans is what we are going to carry into Baton Rouge and into Shreveport and Alexandria, which are other crime problem areas in the state. We won't stand up a troop NOLA, but we'll use this same type of enforcement effort and partnership with state, local, and federal agencies that we have seen over the past few months has been very successful. And I don't want to also, I need to acknowledge, Attorney General Liz Mill and her office in the prosecution of our cases. And I know you had DA Jason Williams on earlier, the higher bonds, the sentences which the judges are giving out are making a difference. When we keep them in the lockup, we're able to process things in our crime lab with CODIS and the DNA and NIBIN through the ballistics. And because they have those bonds, which they're obviously reflective of the crimes they're committed in their past record, we're able to go back and locate those folks because we know they're in the parish jail and ask follow-up questions, and oftentimes they're implicated in other crimes. So additional charges follow, as opposed to if they were released on a low bond and then we can't locate them. That is a very effective process and blueprint that we hope to take across the state. So credit to the AG's office for their prosecution, as well as DA Williams for partnering with the AG's office to ensure that we follow the process. And I think you'll hear when Governor Landry comes on later, he's going to specifically talk about not just the arrest, but the process, the prosecution, and of course the judicial side where the judges, because we all know too well that if any of those three parts of the process fail, then we still have a crime problem and we have the repeat offenders. And I think that's why the crime is down, is because they are where they belong. Those who commit violent acts are being held accountable for those actions.
No doubt at all. Couldn't have said it better myself. And I just want to say thank you to you, the men and women of the LSP, the work that you guys have been doing, and all of the assets and resources that Governor Landry has made available to the city of New Orleans. I think everyone recognizes that it has made a difference. In fact, I'm getting text on a text line right now. There's a whole list of places that they're requesting that y'all go to.
Once
you start having some successes, everybody wants you in their backyard, right?
Yes, sir. Look, and we're proud to serve all the residents and visitors of Louisiana and all 64 parishes. But I think what's so important, and what we hadn't had in years past, and which really has come together under the leadership of many of the federal agencies and the state agencies, as well as our local agencies, is truly enacting the partnership, not worrying about who gets the credit or who is in lead in the investigation. if we all just participate, we'll have success. And because it's worked so well here, we're confident it's going to work well in those other areas that want to have crime reduction, more importantly, to feel safe in their respective community, parish, or city, where they can bring their children to school, they can go to dinner in the evening, they can attend events on the weekend with their family, go to faith-based house of worship, and not feel like some bad crime or they're going to be a victim of any type of crime in their area. And we're confident that that's going to work for us in those other areas. Well, although it won't be a troop NOLA with a physical bricks and mortar structure that I know some of Axton, Baton Rouge, we still feel that we can be successful in those areas.
And I'm confident that you will, as long as everyone stays to the mission, right? And we really appreciate you spending time with us this morning. We know that you're incredibly busy. Colonel Robert P. Hodges, Superintendent of the Louisiana State Police. Thank you, sir. Have a great week.
Thank you, Sheriff.
And stay safe, my friend. We'll be right back, folks. After the break, we'll visit with Greg Rusevich, chair of the Metropolitan Crime Commission and also past chairman of the New Orleans Crime Coalition. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, we are at the Metropolitan Crime Commission Excellence in Law Enforcement Awards lunching at the Sheraton New Orleans, and we are honoring the men and women who make Metro New Orleans safe. And right now, our guest is Greg Rusevich, who is the chair of the Metropolitan Crime Commission and past chair of the New Orleans Crime Coalition. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Newell. Always great to be here.
It's great to be here today. This is the primary fundraiser for the organization. I understand it's sold out again this year with even more seats than last year. That's got to be great news.
It's pretty incredible. Close to 750 coming today. And, you know, last year was our number one year and by far. And then this year is going to be about 40% above last year. So it just keeps growing. People just love the results, and they feel safer, and we think we've been a small part of that.
For the benefit of the listening audience, if you would, articulate why you believe it's important to have a watchdog agency for our community.
Right. Well, two reasons. Number one is the public corruption side. So that's really where the MCC was founded 72 years ago, focused very much on public corruption. It's never got away from that. As a matter of fact, since 2009, about 110, you know, the MCC's been effective in giving referrals and assistance to federal and state law enforcement for corruption-related cases. 110 cases we've helped resolve. And so the mission of public corruption continues, and it lets the sunshine in and keeps public officials accountable and accountable to the public. And then secondly, on the crime-fighting front, you know, Rafi and the team just do such a great job of digging into the data and the facts. And then those facts that are reported by the MCC help law enforcement draw conclusions to then act on those conclusions. So we're basically the foundation of the information flow that is provided to the community and law enforcement so that action can be taken.
Some of the other things that you guys do, I think, is really important. Without digging into the data deep, you know, you don't get to a point where you find things where you are compelled to ask questions operationally why you're doing things certain ways that aren't yielding results.
Right, exactly. Well, let's take, for example, the weekly crime bulletin that we put out every week. That actually shows crime by neighborhoods and street blocks. So it helps NOPD, and now the state troopers actually go into that information and then see where exactly that crime is. Now, they have a lot of that information, but this is also bring it transparently to the public as well. And absolutely, it helps, you know, I think performance metrics within NOPD, and same thing with the DA's office. I mean, we report how many cases are accepted, how many are effectively prosecuted, and how many convictions it leads to. So that information is critical for both the DA's office and the, you know, holding them accountable and holding NOPD accountable and everybody in the system accountable. And same thing with the jail. We track how many individuals are in the jail and what they're in there for so that there's not hysteria in terms of while the jail population has gone up. Through the facts, we can explain who is in there and what their population is, you know, their issues have been.
And there's not really anyone looking at the data in a holistic sense like the Metropolitan Crime Commission.
Yeah, no, we and the research team is just exceptional, and we have some very generous supporters and sponsors that fund that research.
Yeah.
And so we've got a great research team, and they go in with no ideological lens. There's no ideological lens by Rafi or his team. We just go in and we pull out the facts, and the facts lead to conclusions, clear conclusions. So it's not, we're not going in with some ideological lens, which you find so everywhere these days, Rafi. We just, MCC doesn't allow that to happen. You know, it's like tell it like it is, and Rafi's the principal tell it like it is guy. So.
And a lot of elected officials, if they're smart, they're receptive to receiving the information.
Yeah, and I think most are. Yeah. I think most look at the information. And frankly, when we see an issue that has become politicized and one side or the other is trying to make hay out of it and it's the wrong path to take, I think that the information we provide can help get them back on path.
Yeah, clear it up.
Yeah, clear it up. Yeah.
Kind of dragnet, just the facts, man.
Right, just the facts. Yeah. That's exactly what we try to be.
We don't need all the noise.
No, not all the noise. Right. And when they try and go in one direction, and that one direction is not supported by facts or data, then we bring them back and say, these are the facts. Quit trying to go on some ideological lens when we're providing the facts that you should be guided by.
Now, this event tonight, today, is important because it highlights a couple of big cases, and primarily... one of the things that I used to love to wake up and read about is when my men and women of the JPSO working with other agencies, connecting dots, dotting the I's, and you see a flow of an investigation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like reading a crime novel. And those were the only crime novels I read were what we call dailies.
Right.
And my best days in the sheriff's office is when I got up and I had a daily and I'm like, we knocked that out the park.
Yeah. And particularly when you can do that with a team of others regionally.
Yeah.
And we're going to point out one case today and give out a group of awards that are directly connected to what you just suggested, which is where we have a very specific example of where the where federal, state, regional, local, but not just that. Harbor Police were involved. Tulane was involved. Everybody in an Operation Clean House that went in and led to just incredible numbers of arrests, incredible numbers of effectiveness to protect neighborhoods. And so we'll be giving out awards to a large number of those groups today. That include, DEA is included. So it's just a large number of individuals, and it's great to see. Newell, and this is something that Rafi and the team have always called for is collaboration amongst law enforcement. And as you know, there's nothing better when you see that, particularly when you add in the technology that's used, because everybody's not equal on technology. So then when the technology is shared as well, it just leads to incredible results.
And it's interesting because, as you know, some of the agencies have more strengths in areas than others, right? And have access to sometimes more in different data components because of the nature of what they do than others. And when you pull all of that into that law enforcement jambalaya, it works, so to speak.
It's over 20 agencies that were involved in that one effort. So we'll give out those awards today, and we'll give a 3 or 4 minute detail on what that entailed. But it's really quite fascinating. And for someone who loves those daily novels, you'll really like that part of the program.
And you have the toughest job today. They tell me you're the timekeeper. You got to keep this on schedule, right?
Yeah, well, that's always the toughest. But I promise, Rafi is like by the minute. He's by the minute and by the half minute. So I know we've got to stay on it. We will stay on schedule. I can assure you that. Trains will stay on track at
this
stage.
He's got you trained.
No. This train will stay on the tracks. Yeah, this train
will
stay.
Well, congratulations. I know, I know he's paying you the big bucks as a volunteer. Without folks like you in our community, we're not able to do it and accomplish what we do. So thank you so much.
And thank you for being here. This is just fantastic, and I know it'll take us to the next level. So thank you, Noel.
It's good to be a part of the team.
Thank you.
Greg Rusevich, the chair of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with the governor of the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry. We'll also have the DA from St. Tammany and Washington Parishes, Colin Sims, and Lionel Myrtle, special agent in charge of the New Orleans field office of the FBI. Stay with us.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.